This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. If you are in the Tampa Bay area, you can visit any one of 12 original Hooters locations. If you are outside the immediate Tampa Bay area, anywhere in the state of Florida, anywhere in the United States, and around the world, I think you know where your nearest Hooters location is. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsborough.
Thanks to Hooters for their second straight in-season Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast sponsorship. I'm doing this podcast, already seen the completion of the Falcons-Giants game, and going to review the top performers of the week, sort of independent of the Falcons-Giants game, based on some of the standard scoring numbers that were out there. Just give you some thoughts as I see the numbers scroll by. And let's also talk about the deal that sends Amari Cooper to the Dallas Cowboys in exchange for a number one pick. Yeah, Jerry Jones has done deals like this before, and very rarely do they work. He gave up two number ones for Joey Galloway. Bad deal. He likes, you know, for a guy who kind of started the season with nobody of real significance at any pass catcher position, and off Michael Gallup's best game, and bringing in Amari Cooper, he gives up a number one. I find it odd for this reason. The Jaguars just gave up a five to get Carlos Hyde, who's had a better season than Amari Cooper. Yes, Cooper is younger, but I think most of us who are fantasy football players, and certainly Raiders fans, know Cooper is stunk now for a season and a half. Other than one, was it a Thursday night game? I seem to remember color rush jerseys. One Thursday night game against the Chiefs where he scored three times. Other than that, and there might have been a game in either week one or week two for the Raiders this year, there's been very little there to go on. Sure, he's young, and physically things look fine, but there's a pretty big body of work here that isn't very good. I guess Jerry is hoping that he can get the same production out of Cooper with Gruden dumping him that the Bears got out of Mac before Mac was playing on one foot on Sunday. But I think it's a bad deal for the Cowboys. If they were going to bring in a wide receiver, I think there were potentially better ones for them to target, maybe even on the Raiders, like a Jordy Nelson. From a fantasy standpoint, if you are an Amari Cooper owner and you did not get to the point in recent weeks where you just dumped Amari Cooper and you were rostering him, this at least gives him another chance to be productive, to be worth the draft pick that you think at this point you wasted on Amari Cooper, since he will be thrust clearly into a number one role in Dallas. But I don't know what changes here. He's been a bad player for the better part of a year and a half. Does he suddenly become the player he was 2016 and before with a change of scenery to Dallas? He might see more double coverage in Dallas than he saw with the Raiders. Because at least with the Raiders, they have other pass catchers, Jordy Nelson, Cook, Rashard out of the backfield. Dallas kind of has one meal ticket other than Prescott under center, and it's Ezekiel Elliott off a bad game against the Redskins. So I think it's a bad deal for Dallas. If you are a Cooper owner, I guess you're hopeful. I mean, David Carr, Dak Prescott. Did I say David Carr? Sorry. I always get just Carr, because the one Carr who's on NFL Network, when they throw up the graphic about how he won a Super Bowl Yeah. Doing what? So sorry about that. But I don't know what changes here as it relates to Cooper. And it seems like too high of a price to play to pay for Dallas. But if you are a Cooper owner, you're hoping this means something for him. If Cooper is on waivers in your league, I would imagine a very small percentage of leagues, Amari Cooper is on waivers in terms of your waiver claims this week. Yeah, he's worth picking up. I wouldn't move someone that you feel strongly about to get Cooper just because there's almost a year and a half of very little production to go on as it relates to him. I don't know that this just makes him better. I think it's a bad deal for the Cowboys. And if you are an owner of Cooper, you've got hope now as far as picking him up on waivers. I get it. But I wouldn't be dropping someone who is a good option for you to suddenly put Amari Cooper on your team. I just wouldn't. I don't think the fantasy production will suddenly be there since it hasn't been there for a year and a half. All right, so let's go back and pre-Giants Falcons look at some of the top fantasy performers. Let's just play off the standard scoring numbers for this. Looking at just overall points and rankings for the week, for week 7, Mahomes 1, Trubisky 2. That's a few big fantasy games in a row for Trubisky, who prior to the game against the Buccaneers was really the worst guy out there. Didn't look the part. And now being more and more productive, although again, you go back 2 weeks in the overtime against the Dolphins when Nagy didn't trust him, and still the Bears are losing games. But Trubisky has been a really good fantasy quarterback, sort of like Jameis Winston. The last couple of weeks, the Bucs have won one, dropped one, but Winston has been very good from a fantasy standpoint. Trubisky's been also extremely good. Kareem Hunt, wow. So two of your top fantasy performers are Chiefs. Hope you got a piece of that offense, and hope the piece isn't Sammy Watkins. Kelce has been held out of the end zone for 3 weeks in a row. We've had more Tyreek games than we've had Kelce games recently. It'll continue to go back and forth. Denver's DST was hugely productive on Thursday night against the Arizona Cardinals that got an offensive coordinator fired. I know from the podcast league, I picked up Indianapolis to stream for 1 week against Buffalo. It worked very well. Now, do you stream a defense against Arizona with Rosen, I believe, bothered by a bad ankle? It's not a bad idea, depending on who's out there. Streaming a DST right now against either Arizona or against Buffalo. Marlon Mack bubbles up, as he tends to do a couple of times a year. As a matter of fact, some of the most productive running backs not named Todd Gurley were names that probably most of you did not start and might not even roster. Marlon Mack being one of them, nearly 30 points in standard scoring leagues, followed closely by Todd Gurley. Then you go Cam Newton, despite being down 17-0. Cam Newton, I know I got an email from someone going into Sunday saying, yeah, I know what you say about legs being the tiebreaker and Cam Newton, but I think I'm going to sit him for somebody else. And look, guys like Trubisky and Winston had good games, but this is just proof. If you own a Cam Newton, unless you have Mahomes, Newton plays. He just does. He's going to give you fantasy numbers. And McCaffrey still doesn't have a touchdown on the road all year. McCaffrey not getting in the end zone, Cam is throwing. He got Olsen back. Funch has had a touchdown, and Cam's going to do some of his own rushing. Rams DST was the second highest DST of the week. Andrew Luck just continues to throw. Luck and Flacco especially. Not spectacular, but the fact that they're just throwing so much makes them fantasy worthy. Tom Brady, a little over 22 points in standard scoring leagues. Winston, because you factor the turnovers in, at the 22, he had a rushing touchdown. James White, again, very solid, and in a game where Sony Michel got hurt. The latest on him is it's not considered serious. But I keep telling you, if you're playing a running back at the flex who isn't catching balls out of the backfield, you're leaving points out there. James White is the perfect type of running back to play at the flex position if you're not just outright playing a wide receiver at the flex position, over 21 points this past week. Emmanuel Sanders also had a big Thursday night. Initially, I guess it was Vance Joseph said Sanders was fine. Baker Mayfield with another strong week. So you got guys like Trubisky, Winston, Mayfield on teams that aren't necessarily winning, but the fantasy numbers are there. Latavius Murray, another solid game there for Murray in the absence of Dalvin Cook. Dak Prescott, still over 20 points in standard scoring leagues. Then Phillip Rivers, then Joe Flacco. Of course, followed immediately. Flacco was worth just under 20 points in standard scoring leagues. John Brown, also worth just under that. And they connected for a late touchdown before the Justin Tucker miss. First time Tucker has missed in 223 extra point attempts. There's Indy, who I streamed against Buffalo. They came up as the third DST of the week, followed closely by New England as the fourth DST. Carson Wentz, just under 19 points. Trey Burton at the tight end position, 18.6. Burton and Cohen, as Trubisky's numbers have gone up, Burton and Cohen's numbers have significantly gone up. It was just kind of Jordan Howard and Allen Robinson the first few weeks, and now there's more people involved. The Bears are an offense you want to have a piece of right now. Kerryon Johnson, breakout game. Imagine a lot of you didn't play him because Patricia talked down giving him more work, but there he was with a very strong game and nearly 18 points in standard scoring leagues. Tyrell Williams off a big week six, again a big week seven. You almost want to merge. You almost wish you could pick up the name Williams for the LA Chargers and have either Mike's big games or Tyrell Williams' big games because it's just tough to predict who's going to do what. Osweiler was worthwhile. He's got a revenge game against the Texans on Thursday night. Stafford's production's been down this year, although he was at just under 18 points. Kirk Cousins' production was down this past week in a Viking blowout win against the Jets, but Thielen's numbers were solid again at 17 points. Drew Brees' production down a little bit this week. That's expected against the Ravens' defense. Goff, 2 weeks in a row, his numbers down, as Gurley's numbers have been huge in very The game against Denver wasn't quote-unquote one-sided, but I think we all watched it and knew the Rams were never losing that game. They blew out the 49ers. Mariota gets a decent game over in London. Deion Lewis also had a surprisingly good game. Again, still, I don't really know how you own Titans at this point because you just have no idea when you're going to play them. I guess if you own them, they're plug and play when other guys are on bye weeks or you have no choice until we have some more consistency and clarity in what the Titans are doing. Matt Prater, one of the most productive kickers of the week, no surprise there. Although Prater did miss a number of long field goals like late in the preseason, I think early in the regular season. Lamar Miller, who knew? Very productive game against the Jaguars. As Miller reasserts himself, for those of you that hung on to him, that's his best game in about, 5 weeks? Kittle was productive again. Good bounce back for Jarvis Landry after a lousy game the previous week. against the Chargers. Landry was a big factor, had the late touchdown regulation. Good game for Philip Lindsay, but so many Broncos did against the Cardinals. But Lindsay's just a solid back. They're just managing his reps because he's so small. Mentioned the Deion Lewis, best game for a Titan running back. I think Derrick Henry even scored a rushing touchdown first all year, but it's Deion Lewis who had more points at 15.5. Kenyon Drake got the points a week after Frank Gore had 100 yards rushing. It's Drake who gets the fantasy points for the Dolphins. Dolphins also very difficult to predict, and you've even got the stomach cramp that is Devontae Parker now disagreeing with what his agent is saying about his coach. It was Albert Wilson got hurt just week to week. You know, I call Adam Gase a fantasy killer at the same time. I do think he's a really good head coach, and I think once the Dolphins make the mistake of firing him and he gets a second opportunity to be a head coach with a better organization, that Gase will be one of the best out there and might do some things like, say, Peterson has done in Philadelphia. T.Y. Hilton back healthy, scores two touchdowns, didn't get a lot of yards, but he did get in the end zone twice. Andrew Luck, throw, even in a big game for Marlon Mack. You know, Danny Amendola had 14.4 points to show the unpredictability of the Dolphins. Mentioned Tariq Cohen with another good game. Michael Gallup, best game yet, so you have to assume it's Gallup and Cooper as the top two receivers for Dallas going forward. Nick Chubb, now in a featured role in Cleveland, got 14 points. He was good. Duke Johnson didn't get much action, even though the Browns were in catch-up mode. That was a little surprising. Scrolling down just a little bit more, another solid game, yet not spectacular, but you'll always take double-digit points from guys like Zach Ertz, Tyreek Hill, Alvin Kamara, Brandon Cooks, Michael Thomas, best game for him in almost a month. T.J. Yeldon, even with the trade for Carlos Hyde, with Hyde inactive, Yeldon saying, hey, I'm still here, I still want to play, got 12.8. Devin Funchess got in the end zone, even though Olsen came back. Mike Williams actually did put up double-digit points, even though Tyrell Williams put up the bigger amount of points. A.J. Green, double-digit game. Kabree Bibbs gets in the end zone for the Redskins. Njoku for Cleveland has clearly benefited from the switch to Baker Mayfield. Rough game for Deshaun Watson, just the one touchdown to DeAndre Hopkins and really nothing else there. Even though Tariq Cohen stays significant in Chicago, seems to be getting about half the reps that are splitting reps with Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard still got double-digit points. Mike Evans, double-digit points. And Chris Ivory with the head injury to Shady McCoy. Chris Ivory produces. How about Herndon for the Jets, the tight end for the Jets, who was one of the top five producing tight ends last week. Again, puts up double-digit points. Josh Gordon had a number of targets. He put up 10 points for the New England Patriots. And let me just see if I can find one more. Edelman at 9. Kelsey had a long catch and run. Then did some things late, but didn't get quite to double digits. And trying to find one more. I keep thinking Cortland Sutton's going to be significant. It's probably going to take a trade of Demaryius Thomas or a significant injury to Emmanuel Sanders for that to happen, or the quarterback change from Case Keenum to Kelly, which now is obviously not imminent after the win over Arizona, but still something that may happen at some point this season. Mostert for San Francisco? Yeah, who's all right. I mean, if you're desperate for a one running back and he's sitting on waivers, he's getting reps. That's for sure. There's Keenan Allen, only at 7.2 points. I know those of you that draft Keenan. And then David Johnson, another down week with just the 7 points in the rough Thursday night game. Will Fuller also didn't produce. And Austin Eckler, even without Melvin Gordon playing, not the game that people were hoping for. If they owned Eckler, picked him up on waivers in a plug and play, getting the opportunity. He was roster worthy before the Gordon injury, was sort of a must-grab pickup, but if you played him, you expected more, and it just goes to show, kind of like Tevin Coleman, although Coleman had a nice game on Monday night against the Giants. Just because the first guy goes out doesn't mean the second guy can put up the same numbers and will be utilized the same way. All right, send me all your emails. We are 7 weeks through, so really, you're at the halfway point now. So you're halfway through your fantasy regular season, in all likelihood, and time to evaluate where you're at. Take a look at the big picture. If you've got some guys you can sell high, maybe you do it. Seriously, maybe you do it. If you've got a bigger name, and I wouldn't be selling low on some guys. Send me anything you want via email at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, and we'll go over it this week. Thanks for all your emails. Been answering all of them, as I did last season, and I'm doing again this season. I would imagine in most leagues where you have 3 weeks of playoffs, maybe some leagues you have two, but you're basically at the halfway point now. And yeah, there's nothing new on Le'Veon Bell, and there's nothing new, I can tell you, on Leonard Fournette and, Dalvin Cook. And we said it going into season-long drafts. You got to get an RB1, and some of these guys just haven't produced for you or even played at all. And it's tough to make up that gap if you didn't draft well or didn't make an immediate move to get, say, James Conner or somebody else, leaving those RB1 points out there that you were expecting from Le'Veon Bell or Leonard Fournette, or to a lesser extent, Dalvin Cook, and to a lesser extent, also David Johnson. Again, ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters. Be listening for me Thursday morning, as always, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 Pacific on VSiN, the Vegas Stats and Information Network, talking to my friend and Redskins fan, Gil Alexander. I'm sure Gil and I will have some things to talk about after the Redskins-Cowboys game and the trade of Amari Cooper to the Cowboys for a first-round pick. I appear with Gil Alexander virtually every Thursday morning in season at 10:30 a.m. Eastern, 7:30 a.m. Pacific, talking fantasy football and doing just a touch of ATS or total conversation as well. Thank you very much for listening to the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.